You are listening to the Good Day Wellness Podcast, a podcast dedicated to boosting your mood. I am your host, Melissa Fedeli, and I'm here to support you on the way to calming your mind and nourishing all aspects of your life. Together, we can bridge the connection between body and mind and make every day a good day. Hey everyone, today I have another health expert joining me on the show, my lovely friend Casey Wilson, who is a very well-known naturopath, podcaster, and a beautiful girl's mum. She is your go-to gal for everything fertility and women's health. Casey has helped and supported countless women on their journey to conception through her holistic practices, and today she is here to share them all with us. So if you or someone you know is on your fertility journey, I know you are going to love this episode and get so much out of it. So let's get straight into it.
Hello, Melissa. It's so lovely to be on the other side of the mic.
I know you're a busy podcaster yourself, so I feel very privileged that I've got you on my podcast to chat fertility. So thank you for your time.
It's exciting to be here. I always love chatting with you, Melissa.
Oh, good. So before we get into the good stuff, I've got to ask you, what is one thing you do every single day to boost your mood?
It's funny you ask this because I'm currently putting together a bit of a program for rebalancing cortisol levels. So I've been thinking about this a lot, but I 100% have to come back to every time I feel a bit funky, whether it's a bit stressed or whether it's a bit low, I just go outside. I'm a nature girl, like whether I'm barefoot on the grass or weeding in my garden or whether it's going for an actual walk looking at the trees, like that is just what does it for me every time. So yeah, it makes me feel relaxed and uplifted and rejuvenated.
Beautiful. I love it. It's connecting with nature, getting that sun exposure, yeah. That fresh air, it works wonders, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Amazing. So today I really want to bring awareness to fertility to support anyone listening who may want to fall pregnant. Now, I want to start with preconception because that's really where it all begins. So in terms of preconception care for both male and female, what are your thoughts? What are your suggestions? Like, what is the starting point here?
Yeah, well, I guess firstly understanding the power of preconception care. So both, like together, you have the power to positively impact both your fertility, but the health of your baby to be. So by leading a lifestyle which, you know, provides that nurture and nourishment for your body, mind, and soul, you're setting your baby up for a thriving start to life. And that's what it is all about. So that's what I like to remind couples that. But of course, traditionally, most of the focus and the pressure, to be honest, is spent a lot on preparing the mum to be. So we have to come back to remembering at that time of conception, the health of the, you know, your future children is determined equally on the health and genetics of both you and your baby's father. So it does take two to tango. And a little bit of a stat there is that, you know, the male in a relationship can play a role in up to half of all infertility cases. And, you know, male infertility affects around 5% of men. So it is important to be looking at both, you know, preconception care should include both parents to be, and it's an important time to spend just as much energy and improving the health of your fella to enhance his overall health and his nutritional status for his healthy sperm, as it's going to help support, you know, as it is to support your egg health and your hormone health heading into conception. But in saying that, we don't want to forget you. You absolutely matter. So if it's the mums to be particularly listening today. So an example of why I really do encourage preconception care for mostly the mum to be is the nourishment. Like through the foods, you can help to avoid deficiency states in particular areas. Like, you know, if you can top up your nutrients for building your bones and your blood and your organs and tissues, this will prevent deficiencies and feeling depleted in later weeks and months and years. So as your baby grows, of course, they're going to be relying on your nutritional stores. And then on top of that, if you have pregnancy nausea, which a lot of women do experience, then you may not be even able to eat, let alone eat something healthy. And then if you decide to breastfeed, that baby continues to take from you. So if you can spend the time to top up your cup first, then that's going to really help. And a bit of an analogy I like to use is that, you know, think of this preconception phase as this big bucket, which you may or may not have filled with water. And as your baby grows through pregnancy, it relies on your reserves. So the water levels are drawn upon. And on top of this, you'll be, you know, working hard to continue your usual functions, which all require water from your bucket. And once Bob's is born, a great deal of energy will be used for nutrients for healing post-birth and then to provide that breast milk as well. And that water level just continues to decline. But if you've spent that time preconception to really top up that bucket with important, you know, your vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, essential fats to boost up your nutritional reserves, your bucket's already going to be like full when you start. So you're going to have an abundant supply of that water to meet the needs and demands of the growing and breastfeeding baby. So, you know, that and along with that, allowing that healing to occur post-birth, I think it's, you know, that's just an example of why preconception care is so powerful.
I love it. And I love that you've really, you put that emphasis on the male fertility as well and their preconception journey, because I do feel like it's talked a lot about with the woman. And often, you know, the men are kind of just doing their thing. So it's great to know that it is a 50-50 exchange. You know, everyone's, you know, the male and the female, it is equally important for both parties when producing a beautiful, healthy baby. So I guess the next question that I want to know is, in terms of that preconception care, how far in advance should we begin implementing positive changes and really focusing on that nourishment and really making sure you're getting in all those beautiful nutrients that you just spoke about?
Yeah, well, I'll talk ideal situation, because of course there's the situations where, you know, you may just fall pregnant and you don't have a choice in the matter. But if you have the time, like whether you're ready to bring a baby into the world in a few years, months, weeks, like this preconception window, of course, is the optimal time to set yourselves up and, you know, allow that growth and development of your baby, like optimal growth and development. So I do say putting at least 3 months aside will help to give you that time to build yourselves up and nourish yourselves for healthy egg and sperm maturation. But ideally, especially if you're seeing a practitioner like yourself or a naturopath, you know, to do that testing and look at detoxing, you know, I do prefer a 6 to 12 month window, and then you've got plenty of time to do that. And then you focus on the rebuilding phase in the 3 month window just before. So yeah, that's where I, you know, step readers and patients through that detoxifying, de-stressing practices. That's big emphasis on that, dietary and supplemental support, and yeah, really nourishing gut health, hormone health, and of course the egg and sperm health as well. So yeah, it is better to have more months, but you know, it's not always the case.
Of course, of course. We'll get into a little bit of the, you know, the do's and don'ts in terms of nutrition and supplements after. But before we do, I really want to chat to you about just fertility in general. I feel that, you know, fertility issues are becoming quite prevalent right now. I feel like maybe it's just being talked about a lot more. But I would love to know, because you are someone that does specialize in this area a lot, and you probably see a lot of women in this area and men as well. But in your opinion, what are some of the biggest factors that can cause those fertility issues, and how can we begin to address them? You know, if you are someone that you and your partner have decided, you know, we want to have a baby, let's start this preconception journey, but fertility is something that may be a concern or an issue, where do you start and what could be causing those issues in the first place?
Yeah, it's definitely multifactorial. But I do recommend that most, you know, couples that either those that are reading my guide or seeing me in person in a consult, I do firstly recommend like a general blood test to determine any deficiencies. And so, you know, that would include things like, for example, vitamin D. So vitamin D receptors are found in both reproductive organs, both the mum and dad to be. So optimizing those levels, that's an important first step. And often vitamin D is quite deficient. And, you know, of course, sunlight is a big factor. So we're so you know, careful about the sun now, but probably a bit too careful when we're not getting enough of that sun on skin, you know, sun to skin contact to absorb the vitamin D. We're wearing sunglasses, which does impact the ability to absorb that as well. So that's a place I would, you know, recommend a lot of people start, is using that sunlight to help up your vitamin D levels. Of course, you can supplement, but it's always best through the sun to skin contact. So that's a place I do like to start, is getting a bit of a general blood test to rule out some deficiencies. There are functional medicine tests that we can do that look at, you know, further looking at mineral status in the body and topping levels up there. But, you know, are covered under Medicare, we can get a general blood test. Toxins, I cannot ignore that topic. So, you know, preconception time, it should be very highly emphasized as being a low tox time for you, you know, always it should be, but particularly preconception. So, you know, minimizing your toxin exposure will help with your fertility, will help with your hormone health and that egg and sperm development. So just an example here is that, you know, toxins can disrupt the function of your cell's mitochondria. So that's the little energy powerhouse within each of your cells, and that can, you know, deplete your body's fertility supportive antioxidants as well. So that's a double whammy. So mitochondrial function and antioxidants, they're both crucial for the health of your eggs and sperm. So we need antioxidants, and we need that mitochondria functioning really well, and that exposure to toxins can really impact the chances of a healthy conception and pregnancy. So, you know, just some simple ways of doing that. You could reduce, you know, hormone disruptive chemicals from, you know, not using plastics, not drinking out of a plastic water bottle, using body products that don't have fragrances in them, as that's an endocrine disruptor. Well, that can represent, you know, hundreds of ingredients, actually, the word fragrance. But if you've got fragrance or parfum or perfume in something you're using, that can be, you know, directly impact your hormone health and your fertility. Those smelly trees in cars, oh, I cringe every time I see them. Really big on, like, just take out any of those fragrance things in your environment that you're exposed to every day. So in your car, if you've got smelly things in your home, like, they are huge, and I'm sure you feel the same way about that, Melissa. And in toilets, like, when they spray out, I just, like, run. Drinking filtered water, of course, like, we can't ignore toxins through our water, particularly if you are in Adelaide, like, there's a lot of fluoride and chlorine added. So just getting a filter that can filter out those. Getting major dental work done, this is a big one that we don't think about, but if you can have a really good dental health check, you know, 6 to 12 months out, then you can get any work done that you need to. You could have, if you've got amalgam fillings in there, like, that release mercury, you could get those removed very safely through a dentist that does that. But, you know, get your work done, because it's in pregnancy, you're not going to be able to get that done, and you know, you want to wrap that up, basically, and putting steps in place to protect yourself against electromagnetic fields. I think that's huge. So, you know, encouraging particularly the males not to put their phone in their pocket, because it's so close to that area of impacting sperm health. So, you know, there's things that we can do. Like, right now I've got a little EMF protection blanket that I have on my lap. I've had to personal hotspot off my phone today, so I'm very aware of it. If you're using your phone, like, there's things that you can do to protect yourself like that. But it's that, you know, holding the phone, particularly in that region of your reproductive organs, I think that's a really big one. And in today's day and age where we're, you know, very tech savvy, so those things that you're doing daily, I think they're the ones that we really need to, you know, focus on first.
So interesting. I love everything you've said. It's all about that toxin and that exposure, but there are little changes that you can make in your day to day that can benefit your fertility, that can just benefit your hormone health in general. So I think it's great that you've brought up some of those things, because I don't think they're talked about very much. So being aware of just, you know, starting to look at, okay, how many fragrances do I have in my home? What am I using to clean my services with? What am I putting on my skin? I think those little changes over time can really have significant results when it comes to hormones and fertility. So, yeah, I love that you've kind of talked about that and given some tips on how we can start to reduce that exposure, that toxin exposure, because, yeah, it does play a huge role in
everything, really.
Yeah, 100%. Those things that you're doing daily, I think that's the big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Every, you know, what are you doing daily? What's in your habits? What's part of your routine? What are you constantly exposed to? Start looking at that and start looking at how we can reduce that. Now, what I want to talk about is, I guess, supplements. I know that when everyone goes on their fertility journey, whether that's preconception, I think the first question that I hear is, well, what supplements do I need to be taking? And I think this can be a really interesting topic, and I'd love to get your perspective on this as a holistic naturopath. What would you recommend? I know that, you know, Elevate is probably the first thing that people think of, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and also your thoughts on, you know, what maybe three or four things would you definitely recommend?
Yeah, the old Elevate. It's important to understand that doctors really aren't trained in nutritional medicine. And so for them to say, you know, Elevate is fine, it's really being, you know, it's not giving your best interest at heart, really. Like, you need to see a specialist in the area to get something for preconception and pregnancy. So firstly, of course, I know you'd be all over this, Melissa, focusing on eating your nutrition through diet first. That's foundation. We want to be, you know, having enough of those beautiful nutrients like folate to support your preconception journey. But yes, supplements do play a role as well, and I do recommend them just to, you know, make up for those areas that are deficient in a food supply, particularly things like iodine. As oils are very deficient, so yes, I do recommend supplements, but I do recommend that you take the time to get a high quality, well absorbed form. And you know, you can get really great foodceuticals now too. So there's a brand, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention brands, but there is one called Forage, yeah, which is like a just foods only. So you can do things like that if you prefer foods, food like sort of superfood foods, or you can get actual specialized products. So firstly, I'd say in seeing someone that specializes like a naturopath or nutritionist in preconception health, you won't be wasting your money with, say, for example, grabbing a CoQ10 off the shelf that won't be absorbed. CoQ10, by the way, is a very important antioxidant, and that'll support egg and sperm health. B, that they're in forms that your body will be able to use beneficially for yourself. So, for example, B complex that you grab off the shelf will probably be in an unactivated form, and you know, you need the activated form if you've got certain methylation variants. And so that's a big topic in itself, but I could add a show note, a link for your show notes for a podcast episode I did on that. But basically, if you're going to get a B complex or a folate, basically you want it to be in its active form or in a food-based form, so your body uses it despite what your genes are. You don't want to also overdose, so you want to be seeing someone that specializes and knows how much you need of each of those nutrients, because too much does not necessarily mean it's better. So an example here would be iron. You don't want to be having too much iron because, you know, A, higher doses of iron aren't absorbed very well. They'll be dumped in your gut and lead to that digestive upsets like constipation. And, you know, it's not great on the system to have too much iron. So, yeah, you want to be understanding that and how well they're absorbed. And you also want to be getting enough. So an example, you know, here is that we've pushed to go quite low with vitamin A, particularly when you come to pregnancy, but you actually do need a good amount of vitamin A. And so something like a cod liver oil would supply that. And that also has your omega-3s in there as well. So, you know, there are certain areas that you need support in choosing those supplements. But I guess an example would be making sure that you do have some kind of iodine in your preconception supplementation, because having adequate iron status preconception and throughout your pregnancy has such a positive impact on your baby's, you know, behavior and cognitive development. Iodine deficiency, unfortunately, leading into and throughout pregnancy can increase the risk of an underactive thyroid or hypothyroidism in both you and baby, can be linked to miscarriage, stillbirth, and increased infant mortality. So it's hugely important to, I always recommend patients get an urinary iodine test done so they know where they're at. But if you don't have that, you know, at least getting in a, you know, good 220 to 270 micrograms a day. There are some exceptions with that. If you have overactive thyroid, if you have thyroid antibodies, you don't want to be having iodine, or you want to be doing it under the care of someone. But generally, our soils are so deficient in iodine that we do need extra supplementation, or even looking at a seaweed supplement. That's quite a high dose of iodine. So basically, once you conceive, your iodine needs are increased as well, because they play a role continually in your thyroid and hormone production, which is needed for normal development and metabolism during pregnancy. And your baby actually relies on your thyroid hormone for up to the first half of the pregnancy. And then after that, they take your iodine to make their own thyroid hormone. So the whole time they need that iodine there. So that is pretty crucial. So like I said, sort of from 220 micrograms, but you may need a lot of the time, you may need more. You could get that through a seaweed supplement, a very high quality seaweed supplement like Gel Pro is a good one. But with a history of underactive thyroid, or if you have low levels already, which you'd know if you did the urinary iodine test, then extra is often needed. So yeah, there's really, like, that's just one example, but there's such an abundance of research that shows how, you know, herbal medicine, minerals, vitamins, antioxidants, essential fats, they all play such an important role in optimizing hormone and fertility health, such as in, yeah, you know, improving the health of that egg and sperm health. So, you know, and then other areas like gut health and, you know, other positive impacts throughout the body. So, you know, I think they do play a really important role on top of that diet to really optimize preconception health.
Yeah. And I think everything you're saying, it really does show the importance of speaking to someone who specializes in fertility preconception, because there's so much to consider. There is so much to consider in terms of what your body actually needs, what you should be taking, how much you should be taking. And of course, taking that food first approach is very important, but then your body may need, you know, other things, which is where a specialist comes in, someone like you who can really assist in that area. So I think, you know, investing in that and saying, you know, I'm not just going to pick something off the shelf that I think might be good, and, you know, speaking to someone who can actually help you do the groundwork is really, really crucial and really important. And all the things that you've mentioned just show why. But I'd love to talk, you know, in terms of taking that food first approach when it comes to nutrition and dietary approaches to preconception, what are your do's and don'ts that you usually recommend to your clients when you see them?
Yeah, I take them through a bit of a, like I mentioned at the start, sort of if I've got the 6 to 12 months with them, then we'll do a bit of a detox first, and then we'll go into that nourishing phase. So I guess we'll just start at that nourishing, that 3 month mark window. So definitely recommending to reduce, you know, the overconsumption of inflammatory foods. So big ones are industrial seed oils. So like in all your packaged foods, your bakery items, your deep fried foods, your margarines, you know, canola oil, vegetable oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, these are very inflammatory and they are not going to support your hormone health and your fertility health. They create a lot of oxidative stress and they can impact your gut health as well, like your microbiome balance. So that is something that I, across the board, I think for everyone, fertility or not, you know, you definitely benefit from taking those foods out of your diet. But particularly for preconception, I don't recommend extreme dieting. It's a bit of a balancing, like there's this fine line with when we're talking about particularly carbs for helping with fertility. So it really does come down to the individual. You don't want too many because you don't want to be leading on to high glucose levels and eventually insulin resistance, which contributes to irregular ovulation, such as like PCOS type picture. But you also don't want too little carbs, because that could also impact the way that your body ovulates. So it's this fine line. So really, you know, it's about if you need to get to that stage, you can do your own testing with glucose regulation. You can get fasting insulin tested on a blood test through a GP. So it's about kind of working out where you're at and then, you know, bringing in good quality carbs, I think, is the main thing, a heap of refined breads and pastas. But I also would not recommend detoxing majorly too close to trying to conceive. So that's more so when you're looking at like protocols and taking certain supplements for detoxing. I think small things like, you know, drinking some dandelion tea and having coriander through a pesto, gentle castor oil packs, I think they are fine because they are really gentle. And if you're doing them long term, they just kind of keep that natural detox going in your body. But it's more like, you know, you don't want to be doing heavy metal detoxing and things like right before you're conceiving. So that's a big don't. Caffeine too, you want to be mindful of your caffeine consumption. I try to get my patients down to, you know, better not to have any coffee, but just for one a day. There's mixed reviews in the research, but I'd say, you know, around the 100 to 200 milligrams a day, I think that's okay. But just be mindful that things like, you know, energy drinks and chocolate and even black tea and green tea, that all contributes to that caffeine as well. So, yeah, just be mindful of that overconsumption of caffeine. But do's, like, I focus on the do's more so because I want patients to feel like they and readers that they're getting so much, like they're able to have all these beautiful things. But as I mentioned, gentle detoxing is okay. So, and it's encouraged because, of course, we want to continue that, you know, they're getting rid of excess hormones and things from their body. So a lot of cruciferous vegetables are great. So that's like your broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts and cabbage, but cook them. So cooking them will help with their thyroid health. If they're raw, that it becomes a goitrogenic food, which impacts the ability to absorb iodine, which, of course, we don't want. So cooking your cruciferous vegetables is important. Detox savvy herbs. So I mentioned coriander before. Parsley is another great one. You can add them into a pesto. It makes your food taste delicious, but you're also getting a gentle detox. Rosemary and turmeric for your liver health, and anti-inflammatory spices as well. They offer that those properties as well. And fermented foods and things like bone broths for their gut healing. So they're the type of gentle foods that I bring in for the gentle detox that I do encourage. And of course, folate, a big focus on folate. I think most people are aware of the importance of folate-rich foods preconception to help prevent birth defects of the brain and spinal cord, such as the neural tube defects in the early pregnancy. That happens very early pregnancy, so that's why we want the folate there already to go. So, you know, it's important all stages of pregnancy, not just then, but, you know, from fertility, from egg development to ovulation, fetal growth. So you want it all there throughout that stage. So, you know, supplying it is really important, and it helps with that normal DNA replication. And, you know, other Bs are important as well. So B6 and B12 play a role along with that and prevent miscarriage as well. You get an abundance of folate through dark green leafy vegetables, but I do love a bit of liver. So I do encourage liver. If you don't want to eat it, you can get dried liver capsules. Now we're quite spoilt for choice, and it's quite easy to get that in through your diet through a capsule form if you do prefer that, or you can sneak the powder into like a bolognese or something. But that's also a good source of iron, which is another point to make, is you want to be helping to build up your stores of iron, because through pregnancy that does get drawn upon from bumps. It's a natural process. It will drop. I don't want women to freak out when it drops, because it means it's going to baby. It's naturally happens, but you do want to build up your stores beforehand. And and liver is actually a source of vitamin A. So it's something that I don't recommend women stay away from during pregnancy. It's a little bit controversial, but I feel like it's such a really big superfood in terms of nutrients that we need. Vitamin A is a really important point I did want to bring up, because during pregnancy, I think a lot of women feel like that's something to shy away from, because we've been taught not to go too high with the vitamin A, but it plays such an important role in preconception health. And actually the studies that they refer to is very flawed, so flawed science. So it's something that I really would encourage listeners to make sure they're getting enough vitamin A. So we have two different sources of vitamin A. We have true vitamin A sources, and we have beta carotene sources, which need to be converted. So it is better to get the true retinol sources in. It plays a role for preconception health. It plays a role in the production of fertile sperm protective mucus. So obviously that's very important for a healthy conception to take place. It can reduce the risk of miscarriage. And the thyroid gland, importantly, requires more vitamin A than any other organ. And of course, thyroid health is important for fertility, but also in a healthy pregnancy and for baby. And then once pregnant, the vitamin A plays a role in the development of eyes and vision as well, skeletal and nervous system development, and the prevention of deafness, internal organ displacement, and birth defects such as cleft palate. So it does play an important role. And like I said, there's those two different sources. It is better to go for a true vitamin A to avoid having to convert into the true vitamin A from beta carotene, because some things can impact that process. So what I do recommend is a cod liver oil supplement, because you're just getting in the omegas, you're getting in a little bit of vitamin A and vitamin D as well at the same time. So yeah, that's something you can easily meet those needs through cod liver oil. And although it's a supplement, it's a food form supplement. So I love that one.
Amazing. So many good things to pick from there. And I think that's the importance when it comes to those do's and don'ts, or what to have or what not to have. It's, you know, yes, there may be things that we should limit or we should reduce, but when you look at it in the big picture, there are so many incredible foods that you can really introduce into your diet that you can replace. So you're never really missing out on something. So I think if you're focusing on the goodness of certain products and, you know, the abundance of, you know, all these great things you can have, you're never really feeling that lack or not having enough. So so many good foods to focus there. And I think the important thing to take from that is focus on that balance, focus on those whole foods, go back to basics, and, you know, listen to your body as well, listen to what it needs and what it wants. So yeah, thank you for sharing all those amazing tips. I want to actually ask you, what would you say is one of the biggest myths or misconceptions that you hear when it comes to preconception care?
I love that you have asked this one, because I feel like one of the ones I hear often is that if you have PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, you'll find it hard to conceive. And it's simply not true. It's just about tuning in with your cycle so you're aware of when you do ovulate and therefore where your fertile window is. So yes, this may not be on that typical textbook day 14, but if you're in tune with your cervical mucus, firstly, and perhaps using a tracking device, personally, I use the Temp Drop. If you need the details, I can add that into the show notes. But that alongside is like taking your temperature alongside the cervical mucus. If you're all over that, you're not going to know when you ovulate. And yeah, it might be 6 weeks down the track and not like 2 weeks, but you know, and it just means that you're shifting that fertile window. But on top of that, if you're seeing someone like a naturopath or nutritionist and helping to rebalance your hormones, and you can totally normalize when your ovulation is and bring it to more of a textbook type cycle, there's always things that you can do. But you absolutely can conceive. It just means you need to be in tune with when you're ovulating.
I love that, because I feel like, you know, PCOS is something we hear a lot more about now, and I think women get quite scared or afraid that it's really going to impact their fertility. So I think you saying that, bringing light to that, and just, you know, saying we've got to tune in a little bit more, listen to our bodies, take notes, everyone can breathe if you're listening to this and you have PCOS, so that's great. So what is the biggest piece of advice that you would give to someone who may be having issues falling pregnant?
Well, if you're having issues falling pregnant, it's likely you're highly stressed and on this constant emotional roller coaster. It's like that waiting period, you've got a bit of hope, and then it's like this real letdown, and you're just low and stressed, and you know, there's pressure, and it's like becoming a job to try to fall pregnant. So I would just say, bring more joy into your life. Do what you can to rebalance your cortisol levels, as stress plays a massive role in throwing out your hormones and impacting that chance of healthy conception. So whatever lights you up, bring more of that into your day.
Love that. And I like that it's just a simple reminder to, you know, it can be such a stressful process and it can be, you know, really exciting and then really disheartening, and that constant up and down, it's so exhausting. So I think, you know, you saying bring back a little bit of joy, find what it is you love, it kind of takes you back into that happy place, and good things happen when you're in a good place. So I like that you've said that. It's something simple that we can all definitely do. So thank you for sharing everything you've shared today. It's been so insightful. I've definitely learned a lot from you, so I'm sure our listeners will as well. But tell us, where can everyone find you? Where can they come and have a look and see all the amazing things you're doing, and also come and book in a consult with you?
Oh, thank you, Melissa. Like I said, it's always fun to chat with you. And I adore sharing this information. I think it needs to be shouted from the rooftop. So thanks for the opportunity. I'm found a lot on Instagram. So at kcwilson.naturopath, it's Casey with a K and double L in Wilson. And I guess thinking of who's tuning in today, I have two offerings in mind to support you. So firstly, I've got my Path to Conscious Conception guide that can be found at glowingmama.com. That's mama, M-U-M-M-A. And secondly, I do have a free masterclass on the 2nd of April that's called Imbalanced Cortisol Levels Impact in the Way You Look and Feel and Function. And that would definitely be helpful for those that you mentioned at the end there. If you're stressed and you're trying to get pregnant and your cortisol levels are likely imbalanced, then jump on that free masterclass. I'd love to see you there. It's glowingmama.com/cortisol masterclass.
Amazing. I will pop all your links, all your handles in the show notes so that everyone can come and find you. But once again, Casey, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing so much information on such an important topic. I'm sure so many people are going to love this. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Melissa.
No worries. If you guys loved this episode, please go ahead and leave us a review, share it on your stories, and show me some love. It means so much to me. That is all for today. I will see you back here next week for more mood boosting goodness, sending so much love to you all. And don't forget, you have the power to boost your mood. It's all in your daily routines. So go make today a good day. Bye. Mwah.